Я сегодня приветствую сегодня. Мы это проходим послание Иуда. Ну, в этот раз мы будем другую книгу. Я это чуть-чуть хочу больше научиться на одну тему в Иуде. Я вот больше времени надо мне к этому. И вот я вот решил другое место вот вам, с вами вместе поучить. Пожалуйста, откройте псалом, по-русски будет 13-й псалом, первый стих. 13-й псалом, по-английски будет псалом 14-й стих, первый стих. Написано: «Сказал безумец в сердце своем, нет Бога». Мы будем на это смотреть. So with this, we're going to go through Psalm 14, verse 1. And it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. In my hospital, in my profession, what I do, there's many instances where a witness is very helpful. What do I mean by that? When there's cars driving and a pedestrian walks, someone hits him, and the pedestrian is laying on the ground with no witnesses. Nobody knows what happened to him. Nobody knows if this guy got beat up. And sometimes I've seen 7-foot males that look like they would be football players, you know, on the ground. And it's very unlikely they got beat up. And so they probably got hit by a car. And so it's very likely that if a witness would be there, it would be very helpful to have the justice involved, justice system involved, and see what would happen. So witnesses are almost helpful for us for a number of ways. For instance, if we read Joshua and Caleb, who spotted out the land, they brought back a report. They were witnesses of the land. They were sent out, they witnessed the land to see what it looks like, and they brought back a report. So it's helpful for us to have eyes in a certain area to have more information. So we sent out a witness. So we have a report back. And also in the ninth commandment, it says, do not bear false witness. A witness is also helpful to carry out, as I've mentioned, proper justice. You might wonder, what does this have anything to do with what I'm talking about? If you read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, we read of the seraphims. They sing a song that says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. We here have the seraphim, this angel, is a witness. He's a witness. He's bringing us back a report of what's going on in heaven and what's even going on in this world. He's bringing us a report, and this report is that the whole earth is full of God's glory. They're giving us a report as the Joshua and Caleb. Again, I mentioned the whole earth, the whole, not part, not partially, the whole earth is filled with God's glory. It doesn't say that there are some places that have God's glory, or they have to look for God's glory, or it's in the caves somewhere, or under a rock. The whole earth was filled with God's glory. And then we come to our text here, and the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So what I try to do right now is to examine this fool. We're going to try to do an examination from scriptures. What is a fool? And if we read Isaiah 32, verse 6, it says, for a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart inclines toward wickedness, to practice ungodliness, and to speak error against the Lord. To keep the hungry person unsatisfied, and to withhold drink from the thirsty. So we're going to take a look at this verse. We're going to take a look at these words here. We're going to try to unfold them, because it has a lot of important truths about the fool that Scripture speaks of. First of all, it says that the fool speaks nonsense. Indeed, it is nonsense. The very phrase that this fool in Psalm 14 says is nonsense. To say that there is no God when the whole earth is filled with God's glory, that's a pretty foolish statement to make. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." He only wants to really reveal his own mind. He does not have any delight in understanding. He doesn't want to know anything, but wants to reveal his own thoughts. Jesus says, "From the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." From the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that is exactly what we have in Isaiah 32, verse 6. "For a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart inclines toward wickedness." That's why he speaks nonsense, because his heart inclines toward wickedness. The outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to speak wickedness if that's what's in your heart. And sometimes people say, "Don't judge me, you don't know what's going on in my heart." Yes, I do. The things that you say, things that you speak, is exactly what's going on in your heart. There's a phrase that some of you may have heard. It says, it goes, "You are what you eat." I'm pretty sure people are familiar with that. You are what you eat. But I would rather reform it a little bit and say, we are what we say. We are what we speak. We speak certain things, that means that's what you are. That's what's going on inside of you. That's going on in your mind. Someone once said, "I can tell you who your idol is just by asking you one question, or who your God is. What do you think about most?" What do you think about most? That is your God. So you are what you say and what you speak. Can pure drinking water come from the ocean? So a fool cannot speak wisdom. It's too advanced for him. It doesn't make sense for him. And so the fool says, whatever the heart inclines toward, and a fool's heart is inclined toward wickedness. And that's what he speaks. He speaks wickedness. But I want us to think to ourselves. I want us to meditate upon these truths, that we are children of God. We here, we're not like that. We're children of God. And we are to walk worthy of our calling with which God has called us. Continually to represent Christ. That's why we're here, right? We are to be light to the world. We are to be the salt to the world. We are representatives of his image. We are to represent his image. And yet, when we're in our workplace, do we represent that image, or do we represent the world in speaking like the world, acting like the world, looking like the world? And so we are to represent Christ in his image. It is him, it's his image that we bear. How many times have I, at my workplace, acted inappropriately or have spoken foolish things? And I'm convicted that Christ's image is what I bear. And so when people look at me and I act foolishly, it is not me that I shame, it's Christ that I shame. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. Now let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says this, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." He says foolish talk and coarse jesting should not be even named among you. It shouldn't be named among you. There shouldn't even be a hint that that could be implied about you. It should not even be named among you. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. There shouldn't be nothing there even close to resembling you to that. You shouldn't give them any way or leverage for them to put that accusation upon you. You are to walk worthy. Walk in love, just as Christ loved you. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Ephesians. And I want us to look at Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8. It's just a few books to the right. Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. And then look at the last part of verse 9. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. He's saying since. And if that is true, if you have put the old man and his deeds, then that should be an improving task. There should be some kind of approving, some kind of a growth involved. You will get that out of your system. If you notice that you can't get that out of your system, you're not growing, then there's probably a chance you're not a believer. In Ephesians chapter 5, what I've just read to you, there are a couple of words here that are really interesting. It says, but immorality and any impurity or greed, and then he says the next word, must not be named among you. It must not be named among you. You must not be associated with that. And so, if we are believers, we must put off the language of the world. We must put it off. I've encountered so many people, it's almost depressing, at my work who call themselves Christians, and yet there's nothing involved, Christ-likeness, there's nothing. I was just talking to a co-worker just the other day, and I mentioned someone else's name. And I said, he's a Christian. Did you know that? He says, no, I did not know he was a Christian. That's exactly my point, because he acts like a devil. He acts like a man of the world, not like a Christian. He claims to be a Christian for 20-plus years, but there's no growth. Coarse gesturing and using profanity is on his lips continuously. And that's what Apostle Paul here says. It must not be named even among you. But the fool who said in his heart, there is no God, who speaks foolishness, is governed by his heart, who is inclined toward wickedness. And so they haven't started from point A. They haven't started from the very first point, and so they're continually going on this path of wickedness. What's point A? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence to the Lord, the esteem of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Giving his honor, giving his worth, even though we cannot do that to our full extent, but how much we can do. It just really amazes me how much the world speaks nonsense, how much nonsense they speak. For instance, the brilliant minds of our day, what they say. And this is coming from Harvard, one of the best schools in the world, that the Big Bang happened by chance. I heard this from R.C. Sproul, that the whole creation, the Big Bang and everything, all happened by chance. And he argued and he debated this in saying, what is chance? Is chance an actual item? Is chance an actual object? Or is it something that has force? Chance is nothing. Chance doesn't exist. It's nothing. It could only be something in the place of something. If I walk out of this building and someone else is walking out of this building, there's probably a chance that we might meet somewhere. But without the two objects, chance is nothing. It doesn't exist. So to say by chance something existed is absolutely, that's ridiculous. And I really liked what he said, that there's four views to how everything has started. There's four views. One view is that this book doesn't exist. This book is not here. We're imagining this book. We are in a state of a dream, you know, a fantasy. It's not real. I'm not real. You're not real. We can scratch that out, throw it out of here, because we both agree that the book is here. The second view is that this book is eternal. This book has always existed. This book is always here. It's eternal. The second view is that this book created itself. This book has created itself. One day I was walking down the street and poof, appeared. It's here in my hands. And the fourth view is that someone created this book. That's obviously the logical answer, that someone created this book or this paper or anything else that we see. And yet the brilliant minds of our day say that this book created itself. That's what they're saying, but when there was nothing, then there was something. If you break it down to those terms, they say that the book created itself. And that is the most silly idea. It's really amazing the foolish things that they say. And yet the fool who says in his heart there is no God, he speaks nonsense. He speaks foolishness. When the whole earth speaks of God's glory, and this guy speaks foolishness. Why? Because his heart is inclined toward wickedness. His heart inclines toward wickedness, and he wants to run from God. He wants to flee from God. He wants to wish that God didn't exist. And so they haven't started from point A, which is the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. And so they speak nonsense. And what's even more amazing is that the secular scientists of our day, they don't use reasoning to defend their state or their ideas, but they use immorality. They use immoral methods like lying and deception and so forth. For instance, I'm sure many of you here heard of Lucy, an ape man who they've discovered, they gave it a name, Lucy, said that this is the centerpiece of the evolution of man and monkeys. This is the process, right in between. We have found it. Finally, we can prove evolution. Because they have no evidence for it, just so you would know. There's no evidence for it at all. And they have found this missing link. She was unearthed in 1974. And so there was this big hype in the air saying, you know, we have found it. We can finally crush God. We can finally put him behind us. That's old school. We are smarter than people back in the day who had nothing better to do than believe in some religion, have some kind of a joy to fall back on, because before there was depression, that's always your only hope, is some kind of a belief. But now we're smarter than that. So let's continue moving forward and to know what is the truth, and that is evolution. But it has been discovered that this Lucy has been reconstructed. It has been reconstructed to give it features of a man, that it was able to walk. It's really a chimpanzee. It was a monkey that they have reformed, that they have refixed. And yet, the most interesting part about all this is that this Lucy is still included in textbooks and in children's books. Even though it was proved to be incorrect, wrong, thrown out of the window, it was still included in the textbooks. They still teach that same thing. It's based upon wickedness, this whole foundation of evolution, because their heart inclines toward wickedness, because they want to disprove God. That's the main thing that they want to do. The first thing that comes their way, they'll take that ticket, because that's the only shot they have, because there's nothing else that supports anything else besides God creating, because the whole earth speaks of God's glory. And so, even though Lucy was caught, she's still being placed in textbooks, because man's heart is inclined toward wickedness. So that's our next phrase that we see here in Isaiah chapter 32. His heart is inclined toward wickedness. Next week we'll see and uncover what this means. We'll go further into this passage, and we'll apply this passage to ourselves. The fool says in his heart there is no God. By us, sometimes we act as if God doesn't exist. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.